Good morning. Last Saturday, I had the privilege of attending the funeral of Howard Butt Jr. in my hometown of San Antonio. In the week since his death, there have been a lot of news articles about Mr. Butt and his family, whom you may know as the founder of the H.E. Butt Grocery Company, or H.E.B., which is by now the stuff of Texas legend, right up there with Bluebell ice cream and the San Antonio Spurs. I was waiting to see if anyone would boo. The Butt family is also well known and loved for creating a place called Laity Lodge, a Christian retreat center in the heart of the beautiful Texas Hill Country. If you've spent more than 5 minutes with me, you've probably heard me talk about how much I love Laity Lodge. I've spent almost every summer of my life out there, attending their youth camps as a child, working on staff as a teenager, and attending their retreats as an adult. My life has been enriched immeasurably by that place. It's where I first heard the good news that I am loved by a God who created me, where I have never been asked to be anything more or less than myself, and where I continue to return for spiritual nourishment. The Butt family purchased this beautiful piece of property, which runs along the spring-fed Frio River, with the intention of sharing it with others. Howard Butt's mother, Mary Holdsworth Butt, had a vision. She wanted to build a safe haven where poor children from the inner city could come out and experience the astounding beauty and freedom of God's creation, and where people of all sorts could come to find rest and renewal. Working together as a family through the generations, that dream became a reality. When they first bought the property, Mary Holdsworth hoped that 100 children could come out to camp there every summer. Today, more than 25,000 people, adults and children, find rest and renewal along that stretch of the Frio River every year. If you've never had a chance to visit Laity Lodge, indulge me for a moment as I paint you a picture. Limestone canyon walls tower above you while the Green River flows idly by. You can nap in a hammock in the shade, or you can snuggle up on a squashy armchair by the fireplace. You can listen as someone plays the grand piano or take a stroll through the art gallery. Snacks and good hot coffee are available 24/7, and the meals are incredible feasts of fresh, healthy food and decadent desserts. You may be in the middle of the Texas Hill Country, but you are anything but roughing it. Laity Lodge has perfected the art of hospitality. It's this experience of radical hospitality that makes such a deep impression on every person who comes through the gates of Laity Lodge. This is a place where you are invited to rest, heal, and be nourished. When I think about the life that really is life, as our reading from 1 Timothy talked about, I think of my days spent at Laity Lodge. And all of it exists because one family chose to be hospitable, to share what they have with others. The exact opposite could be said about the rich man from our gospel story today. He, like the Butt family, has been blessed with abundant resources. He feasts sumptuously and wears only the finest, luxurious clothing. Meanwhile, poor Lazarus lies just outside of the gates to this rich man's estate, covered in sores, hungry, and dying. If ever there was a man who is in need of some hospitality, it's Lazarus. He was in desperate need of a place to rest, heal, and be nourished. And yet he receives no invitation to come in and join the rich man in enjoying the gifts he has been given. He's given no food to eat and no bed to rest in. The sins of this rich man are many: selfishness, greed, cruelty. But I would venture to say that his chief sin is a refusal to show hospitality. And in this haunting parable, Jesus makes it quite clear that the consequences for this choice are severe. In the early days of the ancient church, Christians were known for their radical hospitality. This was what set them apart from the rest of the world. Over and over again, the New Testament scriptures tell disciples of Christ to practice hospitality. In the ancient Roman Empire, cities were characterized by overcrowding, poor sanitation, and unsafe buildings, just like many cities in our world today. One Christian scholar notes that rather than fleeing these urban cesspools, the early church found its niche there. In fact, the Christians did such a good job of providing hospitality that they actually embarrassed the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor Julian complained, "The Christians support not only their poor, but ours as well, so everyone can see that our people lack aid from us." And hospitals, which you'll note shares the same root as the word hospitality, exist because of the self-sacrificing love of Christians. Before hospitals, people relied on their family and their friends to take care of them. There were doctors and healers, of course, but they made home visits or worked in the temples. If you had no home, if you had no money to pay a doctor or no family to take care of you, then you were essentially left in the street to suffer and die. The first charity hospitals were Christian institutions, created to be a safe haven for the poor and the sick to receive rest and healing and to die with dignity. Today, we take it for granted that if we get really sick, there is a place we can go that will take excellent care of us. Palmer Church sits in the shadow of the largest medical center in the world. And that gift is the result of many people's choices to share what they have with others. Even so, the experience of radical hospitality is tragically hard to find these days. In our modern Western culture, hospitality is, by and large, a lost art. No doubt this has a lot to do with our fast-paced workaholic culture, where we feel like we don't have time to just sit down and enjoy ourselves. But I think we also might be missing opportunities for hospitality because we're making it more complicated than it needs to be, or because showing hospitality can make us feel vulnerable. I know that I tend to resist showing hospitality because I feel like what I have to offer is less than perfect. I don't want to have people over for dinner because I'm not that great of a cook. I don't want to offer someone a ride because I'm embarrassed that my car is messy and filled with old coffee cups. Or I don't want to have someone over for tea because I'm worried I might not have anything interesting enough to talk about. But we need to get over these silly, old-fashioned ideas about hospitality. My life isn't Downton Abbey, as we've discussed before. I don't have a full set of polished silver and a butler to pour the wine, and I will probably never live up to the ideal of the genteel Southern lady who is the perfect hostess. But hospitality isn't about impressing people or providing them with an experience equivalent to a five-star hotel. Hospitality is actually quite simple. It's sharing what we have with others, inviting others into our hearts and our lives to share in the riches that we have been graciously given. We may not have the financial resources of the H.E. Butt family. That's okay. We don't need to open another Laity Lodge. We just need to open our hearts and our homes to others and offer them what we have: friendship, rest, healing, nourishment. We can have our lonely elderly neighbor over for dinner on Sunday nights, or invite a friend who's having a hard time to come and stay with us for a while. As a church community, we can seek out newcomers and visitors and make sure they feel welcome and connected. We can reach out to the sick who are receiving long-term care across the street at the Texas Medical Center and offer our friendship and support. And as residents of the United States, we can welcome to our country those who have been forced to flee their homes. We can invite people in to share in the riches that we have been graciously given. Sadly, our state leadership has made the decision to refuse to offer a safe haven to refugees who are fleeing unimaginable violence and loss. Like the rich man in the parable, I believe we will, in one way or another, suffer the consequences of this sin of inhospitality. Because when we close our hearts and our homes to others, they are not the only ones who suffer. We also suffer because we miss out on an incredible opportunity for friendship and communion. When we anxiously guard what we have rather than sharing it with others, we miss out on the life that really is life. But we can take hold of that life today, right here in Houston. Christians were once known for their radical hospitality. What if Christians were known for that again?